So it's an interesting note that we discussed with someone. That generally, because tomorrow is the actual appearance day of Vamanadev, Vaman Dwadasi. And he, of course, it's very interesting because he's connected with Krishna, being the expansion of Krishna. And he's Krishna's dwarf expansion. Krishna's big, Krishna's small. Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan. This is a Vedanta Sutra. Krishna's smaller than the atom. He's bigger than the largest possible conceivable object or person or idea. Mahato Mahiyan. And he comes as in animal forms, in human forms, and half man forms, half animal form, half beast, half human. Nara, Hari, Nrisingadev. He comes in savage forms, practically a savage, like Adivasi, Parasaram. Parasaram was born in the Brahmin family, Jamadagni and Renaka's issue. But he lived in the forest and he wore black and deer skin and he became like an Adivasi with a chopper in his hand, Parashur. Parashur means chopper. And he went mad on the Kshatriyas because they had killed his father. A long story in the Bhagavatam. So when Bhaktisanta Saraswati is describing the different forms of the Lord, he's describing how the Lord appears in different forms. And he says the savage or the Adivasi aspect is... Because he explains how evolution, when we talk about Darwin's so-called theory of evolution, which of course is bogus, but he says there's changing bodies. But he says even the Lord's incarnations, if you look at the Lord's incarnations, they exhibit a gradual advancement of consciousness and form. And in the Das Keshava Drita, Kurma Sharira, right? The first is mean, I suppose. First avatar is mean. Meena Sharira. Matsya. Keshava Drita Meena Sharira Jaya Jagadish Hare. So this Jagadish Hare is mean. So in the fish species there is no skeletal structure. What we call proper skeletal structure. The fish bone is a very weak and soft thing. It's kind of a primordial spinal column. But then if we get a little more, and it's basically just, there's no real bones in a fish. It's just kind of very soft cartilage. It's considered not even bone, it's considered cartilage if you study paleontology. Study a fish. A fish is just a fish. And don't go fishing. So this mean avatar, the Matsya avatar, the so-called skeletal structure, sometimes they use the term fish bone, but it's incorrect in terms of science. It doesn't have the proper structure to be called a bone. It's actually modified cartilage for those that are medically oriented. But the next avatar after mean is who? Keshavadrita kurma sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. So kurma avatar kachua, the transcendental turtle, Bhagavan turtle. Kurma Bhagavan ki
jaya.
There is a more developed skeletal structure there. In fact, that very soft body becomes covered by a hard, bone-like turtle shell, which is very popular in ladies' combs and other articles. Turtle shell sunglasses and turtle shell combs used to be quite fashionable in the 30s and 40s amongst the various mleches and yavanas of the world. Have sunglasses made of... Now, of course, they have imitation plastic, but originally they're made of turtle shell. So I know some Malachas have had, some of my family member Malachas had jewelry and combs made from turtle shell. You know, 1,000 rupee comb made from dead animal, in a true mlecha spirit of violence to everyone. Violence to all, mercy to none. This is the motto of the modern man. Violence to all, mercy to none. Violence to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to the environment, to the creatures, the flying creatures. Eat them, kill them, slaughter them. The beasts, the fish, isn't it? Love animals, don't eat them. Right? Love everyone, don't eat anyone. You know, we eat our wives, we eat our husbands, we eat our children. We even have expressions like this, what's eating you? Or you're eating my head, isn't it? This means violence to all, mercy to none. And the Vaishnava, he is Kripambuddhi, Vaishnava Kripambuddhi, he is mercy to all, violence to none. Because his lover is in everyone's heart. Everyone is his lover, because his lover is Krishna, Krishna Kanta. The Vaishnava loves Krishna. And Krishna is in everyone's heart. He loves the cow because he loves Krishna. He loves the dog because he loves Krishna. He loves the squirrel, the bird, the fish, everyone and everything. Because Krishna is in everything and everything is Krishna's. And everything is in Krishna. So this is a further development of living being, of body. It's called morphology. Morph means the form. Morphology, the study of form. Change of form, change. There's a relationship between form and consciousness. But it's not that there's not an evolution of bodies, but there's different degrees of consciousness which are expressed through different bodies. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati develops this evolutionary theory and by explaining it through the Vedic conception. And so korma is a more advanced morph or bodily form than mean or the fish. And he's more mobile. He can move in the water and the land. He's called amphibian, reptile. He's not limited. He has some defined skeletal structure. He has his shell. We also have our shells. There's a little turtle in everyone. A little bit of a turtle. Everyone has a little turtle inside them. Different shells. We cover ourselves with different shells. Emotional shells, psychological shells, fear, phobias. This is the conditioned living entity, Jiva Kosh. These are shells. The pure Ananda spirit is covered by these different layers. Fears, lamentation, hunger, thirst, illusion. There's 18 coverings of the pure Atma described in Bhagavatam. So now we have the turtle. Big bad Bhagavan turtle. And then the next avatar. So now we're getting out of the water. We're getting solid ground now. We're getting grounded. Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa. Shukara Rupa. The form of a transcendental boar. So now we have a very fully developed, more developed living entity. There is a bone, backbone structure of a beast. A beast has come. But he has very low nature, low habits, and not very developed creature, not very pretty. Of course, the boar, Lord Boar is beautiful. So beautiful body, beautiful fragrance, all transcendental attributes. He's not boring in the least. He's very exciting. Very exciting personality. Can you say he's a boar? Dancing on the ocean, balancing the earth on his nose? I mean, you go to the circus to watch somebody balance a few saucers on their nose. You balance the whole earth planet and dance at the same time. And one thing, the gopis have a couple of water pots on their head. And they swing their hips and dance down the footpaths and gullies of Braj, looking for Krishna. But it's hard to match Lord Boar. He's dashing, he's daring, he's debonair. But he's destruction for Hiranyaksha. So he is interesting personality. He picked up the earth from the first filthy place and killed Hiranyaksha. And then after Lord Varaha, then we have Tavakara Kamala Varenakam Adbhuta Sriham Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubriham Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Srimad Bhagavad Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. He is half man. Now there's something comes. A man. But, oh yeah, this is the man. This is the man, but the beastly man. Like the caveman. Half man, half lion. So here we have human form, but not completely human form, because there's lion claws and lion teeth and lion head, but legs like human being, form, skeleton, and backbone like human. So this, on one level, this seems to support the evolutionary theory of Darwin. And now we're getting closer to the human form. And after this Narahari, then there'll be Banarahari. Half monkey, half Hari. There's Narahari, then Banara. Banara means monkey. Banara, right? Banara. I'm going to listen to Ban or something. Banara. But it's not like that, Darwin, I'm sorry. So he's completely, very much developed. Then after the Sringadev, then? Now we have Vamanadev. Bhagwan Vaman ki jai. So the point that Siddhanta Saraswati is making is now we don't have any lion anymore. We've taken the lion out of Bhagavan. We declawed him. They do that in the West. Maybe you never heard of that in America. People get cats, they declaw them. You're more familiar with snakes in India, because they have so many roadside snakes, and also some on the road. In the cars. Roadside snakes are defanged, right? The guy's in the basket. At least you hope so, that the cobra that they caught out of the basket doesn't have fangs with poison venom in them. Because if they do, then you might be in trouble. So in the same way, they take out the claws of the cats and the dogs so they don't scratch little Junior. Right? So this is some of the rules of Mlechadam. Make sure you declaw your cat. So when the Sringadev got declawed, he became Vamanadev. They took out his claws. And his teeth. So he became very docile. Very modest and mild. But there was still a little defect in him. Had to go back to the drawing board, because he wasn't... And Bhagavan has a hard time trying to figure out how to make a human being. He started with a fish. Then he worked his way up to half man, half lion. And then he got the Vamanadev. So Vamanadev was close, but no cigar. He was close, but he wasn't a full human being. He was what we call Vaman. What is 52?
Vaman.
It's 52 what? The ungulate. Because obviously when Vaman appeared, they didn't have an inch or metric system. Because there are no Malecha Americans, no Malecha British, and no Indians following both. There's Malecha Englishmen and Malecha Americans, and then Indians follow both of them. Because they have inches and metric. But the origin of both is outside of India. So India's really screwed up. Following two Malechas instead of one. So Vaman means 52 something. So I think in those days, in Vedic measurement, it would be unguli, 52 unguli. Generally, I was told that Vaman means 52 inches, as Ravi was saying. And 52 inches is 4 feet.
4 inches.
4 inches. So that would be considered what we say dwarf. Not quite. Full human being and very beautiful. He's there on the altar in the Bhagavatam picture, wearing his deer skin, and he looked, his golden color body, it wasn't blue, he's golden color, blonde hair, and golden body, very beautiful, most beautiful personality. And when he appeared in the court of Bali Maharaj, in the heavenly planets, then Bali Maharaj's sister, when she saw Vaman Maharaj, she said, "Wow-wee. This little boy is creating, making my heart palpitate. And this is a little strange because he's coming, he's appearing as a young boy." Sometimes dwarfs also are fully grown men. But the point is that Vaman, when he appeared in the assembly of Bali Maharaj to beg charity, Ratnamala, yeah, I have to get the offering. Ratnamala, she fell in love with Vaman. She desired that she would be his mother. She was thinking how fortunate the mother of this Vaman must be, that his mother must be so fortunate to have such a beautiful, attractive child. I wish I could be the mother of Vamandev. So she had that feeling. So Vamandev said, "Yes, yes, I already have a mother now. But when I come again, because I'm Bhagavan, I'm coming age after age. Yada yada yadharmasya dharmya glanirbhavati bharata abhyutanama dharmasya tadatmanam trijamyam. I'm always coming yuga after yuga for the happiness of my devotees, primarily to exchange love with my devotees, to please them. And I'm coming to, in a minor way, secondary way, I'm coming to restore dharma, which entails preaching and teaching, and also entails eliminating demons and obstacles. But, so he granted her wish, I will come in the future and you will be my mother. You can be my mother. Then as the Leela unfolded, it ended up that Bali Maharaj, although he promised 3 steps of land to Vamanadeva, he wasn't able to fulfill his promise, because there was 1 step. Vamandev covered the entire universe. In the 2nd step, he poked his foot through the universe and then extended on and on and on and covered the rest of the universe. He covered the whole planet with 1 step and then the whole universe with the 2nd step, and there was nothing left. So Bali Maharaj was most ashamed and most embarrassed, because he rather prided himself. He was Dhanavir. He had great strength in giving charity, and he was very proud of his giving charity to anyone and everyone in lavish amounts. But he felt so ashamed and so unhappy that he was not able to fulfill the promise he gave to Bhagavan Vaman to give him 3 steps of land, that he hung his head down in shame. Generally, this posture of hanging the head down is done when someone hangs their head down when they feel very shy or they've done something wrong. You see, even animals do that. If you've ever had a dog, because dogs are very human-like, maybe they've hung around humans so long, they've taken on human characteristics. If a dog has done something wrong, for example, you've trained your dog to, you're living in an apartment, when the dog wants to go poop, when he wants to pass, then he goes to the door and says, "Let me out." And somehow, if he forgets or he doesn't make it, then he poops in the house in some room somewhere, and then you come and say, "Oh," and then he comes out of the room and he's walking towards you and he hangs his head down. He's hanging his head down, really shy and embarrassed. You don't know, because Indians don't have much familiarity with dogs, but I grew up in a farm and we had dogs and they're quite part of the family. And as soon as you see their head down, and you say, "Oh, what did he do? What did you do? You even say to talk to the dog, "What did you do? You did something wrong." And the dog is like, and then you go in some room and he says, "What did he do?" And you go, "Oh no, you stupid." And he follows you in there too. He follows you to where he did wrong. And then he looks and he goes, "Oh, there." And you go, you look at him, "Why did you do that?" Why didn't you tell me? But he looks at you and says, well, you were too busy talking on the phone to your wife, you know. So Bali Maharaj, he hung his head down in shame. He was really sad, really unhappy. So then Vaman Maharaj bound up Bali Maharaj with Nagapash, with snake ropes. And then he said, so you didn't carry out your promise. So you lied to me and you didn't fulfill your promise to give charity, so now I have to bind you. And he said, my lord, I'm sorry, please, I offer my head for your third step. All I have left is the territory of my body, the kshetra, shadir kshetra. This body is territory. It's a kshetra. It's a field of activity. There's karmendriya, gyanendriya. So there's working senses and knowledge acquiring senses. Karmendriya, gyanendriya. And they're all working together in this field of the body, kshetra. Dharma kshetra, kuru kshetra, mama vetya suyutsavaha. That's the first verse of Bhagavad Gita. And this kshetra of the body is supposed to be a dharma kshetra. And this dharma kshetra of the body is supposed to be dedicated to the service of the kurus. And head of the kuru dynasty is Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So our body should be dedicated to the service of Krishna. So Vamanadeva, he bound up Bali with Nagapash. And basically, Bali was ruling the entire universe. Bali Maharaj was so powerful by the blessings of his guru, Shukracharya, that he was able to defeat Indra. He was living in the palace of Indra. And Indra was living inside a lotus stem, shivering in fright of Bali Maharaj. Bali means Bala. Bali is powerful. Very, very powerful. Because he had Guru Nishtha, Guru Bhakti. Shukracharya is the guru of the asuras. Even the bad guys have gurus. So guru represents Krishna. So Krishna's power can be used for a good purpose or a bad purpose. You can use a gun to protect yourself from an aggressor, or you can use a gun to become an aggressor, become a badmash, gunda, dacoit. So he had faith in Shukracharya, and Shukracharya blessed him. But when Shukracharya warned him, this little boy, Vaman, is dangerous. Very, very dangerous. He looks sweet. He looks short. He looks effulgent. But he's very dangerous. So this is Maya. Maya can come in short forms, or short form or tall form. Any form of Maya is dangerous. So Vamanadeva is not Maya, he's Bhagavan. But for the demons, Bhagavan is Maya. Right? And for the devotees, the demons are Maya. And demoniac mentalities, lusty mentalities, that's demoniac. Selfishness, greed, envy, this is all demoniac. And demoniac means anti-deva, demon, deva-man. your man is not for the day, for the deva, demon. You're taking away your mind. Day and de in English means to take away. So you're taking your mind away from God, you become a demon, demon. So Shukracharya said, listen, Bali Maharaj, what are you doing? Do you know who this is? This is Vishnu. And he's going to beg some charity, and he's going to take everything away. Your entire kingdom, lock, stock, and barrel, wholesale, everything. Purna, Hogya, or whatever. And then he said, but Guruji, you train me to give in charity. He said, there's no higher dharma for a grihastha than to give in charity. This is the highest dharma of a grihastha, to give charity. You told me that the Vedas, everywhere the Vedas are telling the grihastha should give charity. Because there's only one section, only 25% of the society has money in their hands. The vanaprastha has no money. The sannyasa has no money. The brahmacharya has no money. The money is only with the grihasthas. So how will the sannyasis, vanaprastha, and brahmacharis live? There's no money with them. They have no possessions. They have nothing. They depend on the mercy of God coming through the arrangement of Varnashram Dharma. The mercy of God is in the Shastras. And the mercy of God is received when people follow the Shastras and engage in their Ashram Dharma and their Varna Dharma, their proper karmas and activities. Then everyone gets a share. Everyone gets his share. Because the ultimate shareholder is God. He is giving all the food, he's giving all the land, he's giving all the means of production. But it's held in hands of different people. So the grihasthas are holding the land, the stores, the shops, the money, the income. The vanaprasas are just staying in dharmashalas built by grihasthas. And sannyasis are just receiving charity and brahmacharis from grihasthas. So Bali Maharaj was grihastha, a king. So Bali Maharaj or any Maharaj or any grihastha, their duty is to give in charity, lavishly, give food. And all the charities are listed. How many kinds of charity are there? Anadan, Vidyadan, Panidan, so many dans, Kanyadan. There's a poor Brahmin who has no money to marry his daughter. Then the wealthy grihastha gives money to that poor grihastha. Kanyadan, Anadan, Vidyadan. Somewhere the brahmacharis can go to Sanskrit school and they have to provide rooms for them and food for them and medical for them and clothing for them and schooling and teachers. Vidyadan. So many dans are there. And one is very strong and virtuous in giving dan in all these different ways. Anadan, Panidan, Vidyadan, Kanyadan. He's called Danavir. Danavir, very strength. He has vira, virya. Viral, they say in English, we have the word viral, virility. He's a very powerful person. So dan vir, it's the same, that's where it comes. And what, it's very interesting, dan vir, he has virility and dan. And what is the English for dan? Donation. Or damnation. If you don't give a donation, you're a damnation. That's why this person wrote a book about it. There, everything in Sanskrit is the basis, and Mahabharata is the basis of culture everywhere. It's like this culture is a country, and there's Norway, there's Sweden, there's Scandinavia. Scandinavia. This is named after Skanda. Skanda is the son of Lord Shiva. Right? Skanda. What's his other name? Karti? Kartikeya. Kartikeya is, and Krishna says in Gita, among fighters, I am Skanda. Because Skanda was so ferocious, such a fierce and powerful fighter. The demigods, they were defeated by the demons. And they went to Brahma and said, what can we do? The demons have beat us up again. And he said, if you can get Shiva to somehow come out of his samadhi, and reunite him with his wife who's committed sati and burned up her body in her father's daksha yagya. If you can reunite Shiva with his previous wife who's reappeared as Parvati, Parvat, mountain, the daughter of the mountain, Himavati, Parvati, the daughter of the Himalayas. She is there. You can go to Parvat Maharaj, to Himalaya Maharaj, and you can take that daughter and reunite her with Shiva. And then they will produce a son who will be so powerful, such a powerful son that he will grow up within 1 year. He grew up in 1 year and became Kartikeya. And what, because that battle went on for so many years, the demons and demigods. And Kartikeya grew up in 1 year, and he fought so ferociously, defeated all the, as was predicted, he defeated all the demons and restored the universe to harmony. So, these are some of the amazing things. So there they are. Shukracharya, the guru of the demons, has warned his disciple, Balimraj, don't give any charity to this guy. Oh, you can give charity to everybody and anybody. Yes, I taught you that way. But this guy, he's not going to take 101 rupees and go away with it. So Balimraj said, listen, I'm not going to follow you. You're telling me to give charity. This is very good. Grihastha should give charity. I've given everyone. Now Vishnu's coming and you're warning me. Say, this is Vishnu in disguise. It's Vamanadeva. He's a dwarf. Don't be fooled. He'll take away everything and leave you with nothing. Because this is what Krishna does. He's famous for this. Taking away everything and leaving you with nothing but love. But love is everything. And everything but love is nothing. Everything but love is nothing, and love is everything. Can you follow that? So you have everything in the world, but no love, you have nothing. So everything is nothing, and love is everything. You may have all the money, all the everything, name, fame, gain, everything. But if you have no love, then what do you have, really? You have nothing. But if you have love, then you have everything. Even if you have no money, no food, no clothes, nothing, but you have love, and a lover, or a lover, or both, or whatever. So, he is, this is what happens. Krishna takes away everything which is nothing, and gives you love which is everything. Sarva dharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam bhaja. So this Vasudeva Krishna, he takes away everything and gives mukti. And what Krishna gives prem?
Nandanam
and Vrajanam. All right. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayos. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayos. Srimad Vrindavanam. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayos. Braja Nandanandan, the son of Vrajendra Nandan, the son of Nanda Baba. He gives prema. And when he comes to this world in Kali Yuga, what is his name? In one Kali Yuga he comes.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
And what does he give? Krishna prema pradayate. So our Krishna takes away everything which is nothing and gives love which is everything. So when we surrender everything to our Krishna, we don't get mukti, we get prema. Right? So this word mukti in the Bhagavad Gita, do we want mukti? No. We don't want mukti. We want prem seva. So our Krishna, our Vrindavan Krishna, who only comes once in 1,000 Dwapara Yugas. Vrindavan Krishna only comes once in 1,000 Dwapara Yugas. The other Dwapara Yugas, Yuga Avatar comes, but not Vrindavan Krishna. 999 Yugas, Dwapara Yugas. Yuga Avatar comes, but not Vrajendra Nandan. And 999 Kalis following that Dwapara Yuga. The Yuga Avatar comes, but not Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj Mahaprabhu. Gaur Narayan comes. So, Vaman Balimaraj said, listen, Vishnu's coming, and I'm going to disregard my guru and give charity to Vishnu. So this is Saruninda. This is Guru Avagya. To offend the Saru, to ignore the Guru. Guru Avagya. To minimize the teachings and shiksha the Guru. The Guru is saying, don't give charity to this rascal. He's going to steal everything. And you're saying, forget it. So this is a big aparad. Bali made a big aparad. Did he? Or did he not? No. Because his guru was guru is supposed to be heavy with knowledge of Shastra. So Balimraj, he went against his guru. And he said, I'll give everything. So he gave everything. And then what happened? He gave everything, which ended up to become nothing. Because Vamadeva took everything, left him with nothing. But what did he give him in return? He gave him his love. He became his doorkeeper. He gave him a planet, Sutuloka. Balimraj got his own planet, Sutuloka, and then Vamadeva comes and stays there, isn't it? So when Balimraj's sister, Ratnamala, saw how Bali was bound up by Vamanadeva, then she got very angry. What is this? She humiliated my brother. He was the king of the universe. The greatest demigods were worshipping and touching his feet and bowing down to him and bathing his feet and shivering in fear, and Indra's hiding in a lotus stem because of fear of my brother. And now, what is going on now? Now he's been bound like a crow. Like you go out hunting and catch some crow and you tie him up with a rope. This Vaman Maharaj has tied up my illustrious, exalted, famous brother and bound him like a crow. Ha! I want to kill this little kid. I want to poison him and finish him off. So a half hour before, she fell in love with Vaman. She wanted to be his mother and have a beautiful child like him. So then Krishna, Vamanadeva was so merciful. He said, yes, I will harmonize everything. All these seeming contradictions will be harmonized in Krishna avatar. Krishna is the avatar of harmony. Everything is harmonized here. In Ram Lila and Treta Yuga, when Suparnika approached Ram with the most beautiful form, and she proposed to him, please, I want to enjoy with you and be your consort. And he said, no, I cannot accept you. I only have one patni, one wife. And she said, Ari, what is this? Your father has 360 wives. Your father, King Dasarath, everyone, he has 360 wives, 365 wives, queens. And you can't have one more? What's this? And then he said, no, really, please. You go to my brother. He doesn't have a wife. You go to. So back and forth. And finally she figured, listen, the only way to get to Ram is to eliminate Sita. So now I'll become a Rakshasa and eat her up. And then that wasn't a good idea, because then she lost her ears and nose. But nevertheless, Ram, because he's Bhagavan, he accepted her proposal and fulfilled her desire in Krishna Leela, right? Because Suparnika, she became Kubja in Mathura. And Krishna went to her house and spent some time with her and fulfilled her desire to enjoy Bhagavan. To enjoy Bhagavan, not to serve Bhagavan, but to enjoy. It's called Sadharani Rati. Sadharani, ordinary rati, sadharani. So this Ratnamala, the sister of Balimraj, she came in Krishna Leela also. She came 3 days or 6 days of Krishna Leela. She got right into it. She was the first one to step her foot into the Leela. She was the first one to get her feet in a Leela from the Jiva category. Interesting, huh? Because everyone else is a Nityasiddha Parishad. They're Kayavyuha of Krishna and Balaram and Radharani, Yashoda and all the coward boys, and Gokul, Nanda, Vasudev. And the Sadhana-Siddha Gopis, and they didn't come until six years later, 7 years later, when Krishna saw the clothes of the gopis, Gopi Vastaharana, those are all the Dandakaranya sages that became Sadhana Siddha Gopis. And the Municharis, the Shrutis. But Putana, she was the sister of the demon Balimraj. She entered Krishna's Leela after 6 days. Krishna hardly opened his eyes and she was right there. She came as mother, so beautiful, looking like a demigoddess. She looked as more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. Everybody was just amazed. They just let her walk right into the maternity room and pick up the baby. They didn't think anything of it. And then she offered her breast, which was covered with Kalakata poison. Alahuta poison, which is the poison that was generated when they churned the ocean of Kheerasagar. This poison came out and Shiva drank it. Everyone else was afraid to drink it, but he drank it and became Nilakant. When some drops of poison from that oak fell from his mouth, it became cobras, poisonous snakes, mosquitoes, scorpions, and all these good guys. And then he drank it, and because blue means hot. Which is hotter, red or blue? It's called blue flame. Blue, what's hotter than blue?
White.
What color is sunlight?
White.
When it passes through the prism, what color is it? Comes the rainbow. The water drops become a prism, and then the sun shines through the white light shines through the water drops in the rainy season and makes danus, as you say. Danus means bow. We say rain. What do we say?
Rain.
Bow. What do you say? Bow. Indra, Danu. Danus? Danush. Danush. Indra's bow, because in India, everything is personal. Because the original philosophy is personal. Vedic philosophy, Vedanta is personal. Because Krishna is a person. But in America and West, everything is impersonal. So it's rain and bow, rainbow. Infrared to ultraviolet. So blue is hotter than red. That is why Shiva's throat turned blue. Because that poison was very, very hot. When you get bitten by a cobra, it's called venom. And when the poison of the venom goes through your body, it burns your body. It sizzles your body. And your nerves get so hot that they short circuit and you have a heart attack. Right, toxology, Walla? So he swallowed this poison and it burned his throat. 10th degree burns. You've only heard of 3rd degree burns. Because you only see red color burns. 1st degree, 2nd degree, 3rd degree. Shiva's neck got 10 degree burns. So it became Neel Kant. Kant means neck. Neel means blue. So this is why it turned blue and not red. If it was really poisonous, so he'd be white, then he wouldn't see it because he's white himself. Shiva's color is whitish gold. But when you rub black ashes on your, if you rub ashes on your face, you'll look blackish. Right? Did you know that you thought Shiva was blue in color? What color did you think Shiva is? Blue? Are you right or wrong? Are you white or black? What color are you? White. So if I take some ashes and rub them all over, what color will you be? Black. So that's Shiva's program. He's actually golden color. Very beautiful. But he chooses to. He doesn't want to make himself more beautiful like everybody in this room. He wants him to make himself more less attractive. There's so much symbology also. Everything that Shiva's wearing has its symbolic significance. But back to Vamanadeva. So Vamanadeva's sister became Putana, and she had her desire fulfilled to poison and kill the enemy of her brother, because Vishnu, or Krishna, Vamanadeva, humiliated her brother, which is a type of death. They say honor is, one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death. This is what Krishna told Arjuna when he was preaching to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, to incite him to fight. For one who has been honored as the Gandivadara, Gandivadara, Arjuna, the holder of the Gandiva bow. You have been honored, the greatest of Kshatriyas, Atirati, Maharati, Atirati, the greatest bowman the world has seen. Now you want to run off to the forest and take sannyas. for one who has been honored, dishonor, humiliation is worse than death. So better you die in a battlefield in an honorable way, go to Swarga. Take Swarga as your prize. So this is a situation. Bali Maharaj was dishonored, so he was like dead. Vamana Dev basically killed her brother by dishonoring him, humiliating him, tying him up like a bird, like a beast, with ropes. When you catch some bird in a trap and tie him up in the hunter's ropes and take him home to cook him up. So Ratnamala, she wanted to poison him, so she tried to poison him, poison all over his stan. But she came as mother. She came as a beautiful lady offering her milk to baby Krishna. But then she wanted to kill him. So Krishna is so much compromising and harmonious. He said, okay, you want to kill me? You want to be my mother? So okay, you try to kill me. I spit out the poison. I take the milk. And I make you my datri. And go loka. She became a datri. Became a nurse. Which means Vatsalya Bhav. This is all part of Vamana Leela. Yeah, the heart of the Lord. So this, he has some doubts about this. Krishna replied, "O lion-like King Yudhisthira, in Treta Yuga there was a great devotee of mine named Bali Maharaj." So that's Treta Yuga. So Treta Yuga, that's the beginning of Treta Yuga, was Bali Maharaj, and later on was Ramachandra. "Although born in a demoniac family, he regularly worshipped me and offered me various prayers. He also worshipped the Brahmanas and performed sacrifices. Soon he became so prominent that he defeated Indra, the king of heaven, and he conquered the heavenly planet. Then Indra, along with all the other demigods and sages, approached me. By their prayer, I assumed the form of a dwarf Vaman and went to the sacrificial arena of Bali dressed as a small brahmachari." Because brahmacharis are entitled to beg charity. Brahmacharis, Brahmins, sannyasis. I mean, Brahmins receive charity. They are proper recipients of charity. You can give Brahmins land and gold and money and food and so many things. But they generally don't beg. Brahmins are generally, I mean, Grihastha Brahmins, they don't beg. They just do puja and pot and yajna and all these things and yajan yajan, dan pratigra, and they receive dan. The brahmacharis actually go out and beg alms. That's described in 7th canto of Bhagavatam. It's their duty, it kills the ego. But a brahmachari, he's supposed to be like most humble and develop humility. Humility is something he has to develop by begging. He has nothing, he has only the floor that he sleeps on. And he doesn't have his name on it either. When he wakes up, the floor is everybody's. Because everybody walks across the floor and steps on it. At night, it's his 12 square feet. At night, it's your, for 5 hours, it's your 12 square feet. 6 feet by two, piece of floor. Because I was a brahmachari, I lived in the ashram, 50 guys in one room. I was allotted 12 square feet. Right? 24 inches by 72 inches. 2 feet by six. And within 2 inches of my head was another brahmachari's feet. And with 2 inches of his head, there was another brahmachari's feet. We're like sardines, pecked up. You know, in a line. Head, tail, head, tail, head, tail. And five this way. And then you become humble. Then you go out and beg. You don't keep one farthing for yourself. So Vaman came as a beggar, brahmachari, to the Grihastha Brahman, or to the Grihastha, maybe to, he was Kshatriya, so he had Brahman initiation. Bali Maharaj. So when I came as Vaman Maharaj, I asked Bali for 3 steps of land and charity. And Bali Maharaj requested me to ask for something more than simply 3 steps of land. I maintained strong determination to remain satisfied with what I had asked for. Because Bali said, people ask me for so many things. It's like you go to Bill Gates and ask for ice cream cone. Or you go to Bill Gates and ask for a piece of burfi. you think you're crazy. So you go to Vishnu. You go to Bali Maharaj, who's controlling the whole universe, and you ask for 3 steps of land, and you're only a dwarf. So you're not like a Harlem Globetrotter. Harlem Globetrotter, you can take huge steps. You're only a little kid, so you can take little steps. And so I wanted to. So Bali Maharaj wanted to offer me so much more. I said, no, I'm quite determined. That's only Torah Sav Dan Chayi. Torah Sav, just little Mahaprasad, little. That's Nanda. You always know that there, you know, it's a very easy way to find out who's a non-devotee. You want to know the quickest way to find out who's a non-devotee? Offer them prasadam. If they're a non-devotee, when you offer prasadam to someone who's not a devotee, they'll say, Torasap, very little. Just give me a speck, it's Mahaprasad. But then when they go to Haldiram's restaurant, Anior, yeah, more dokli, yeah, more dokli. Sir, would you like more samosa? Yes, 2 more, very tasty. And more, you want sauce? You want some sabji? Yes, more sabji. Yes. And give me some lassi and this, that. 3,000 rupees lunch. Okay, very good. So when they're eating bhog, food cooked by demons, food offered to nobody, and food and crossing through the nose, they want to eat up to their ears. When we want to offer them Mahaprasadam, no, I don't want this Krishna stuff. So I maintain my determination. Without further consideration, King Bali and his wife Vindhyavali gave me 3 steps of land and charity. Due to being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vamadeva gradually began to expand his body. With 1 step, he covered the 7 lower planetary systems. With his 2nd step, he covered the entire planetary system. When Vamanadeva asked, where will he put his 3rd step? Bali, with folded hands, bowed his head and offered his head. Yeah. Vamanadeva placed his 3rd step on the head of King Bali. He stepped on his head. Imagine, your brother is the king of the whole universe. Some little pipsqueak kid comes along and says, get down, Buster. And steps on his head. So what the hell do you know? What are you doing? You know who you're stepping on? You little twerp. Being fully satisfied by his humility, I bless Bali that I would constantly live with him. Haribo. On the day of the Ekadasi, Bhadra Shukla, a deity form of Vamanadeva was installed in the residence of King Bali. Another form of mine has been established in the bed of Anantashesha in the ocean of milk. The Supreme Lord sleeps for 4 months, beginning from Shaini Ekadasi to Uttani Ekadasi. One should offer special worship to the Lord during these 4 months, and one should properly observe each and every Ekadasi. By observing this Ekadasi, one obtains results of performing 1,000 horse sacrifices. Parshu Ekadasi ki. So Hari Bhakti Vilas explains that on this Ekadasi one should perform, says 3 Ekadasis a year one must perform Jagran, otherwise he loses his piety of the whole year. So it says we should perform Jagran, sing and dance, and recite the Puranas with laughter and mirth. So we have to get into a little bit of park type laughter like they have in Delhi parks. Ha ha ha! You go in Bombay and you go on the Juhu Beach and Bombay parks and Delhi Deer Park, all these guys stand in a circle. Unbelievable. I've seen these nutcases. They have absolutely nothing to laugh. They should go out there and cry in the park. There's nothing to laugh about. Their life is a joke. Their activities are ridiculous. Their aspirations are more hilarious. And their desires are total comedy. So they should laugh at themselves. They should cry. And their lives are nothing but a collection of tragedies. Human form of life wasted. Animal life. Sense gratification. Perversion. Sin. Illicit life. Booze. Whiskey. Women. Intoxication. Gambling. All the four sinful activities. That's the pivot of their lives. Most of all these laughing fools. Laughing Buddhas in the park. Laughing fools in the park. Unbelievable. They should go out and just cry. Everyone's getting to cry. And everyone says, what are you crying about? It's because the material life is miserable. It makes me cry. There's nothing to laugh at, man. It's a serious business. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Is something funny here? The funny thing is, you're out of adjustment. You're out of sync. You're a crazy man. Should observe fasting today. If you fast today, you'll observe crores of sins of killing a Brahman, Brahmanatya. This Pakshavardhani Ekadasi Vrata was performed by Vasishtha Muni, Bharadwaj, Dhruva, and Ambarish. Fasting today gives one the desired object. Whatever your desired object is, you will attain. Should be especially observed by those who are devoted to knowledge. So if you want to increase your knowledge of Krishna, then fasting today should worship Vamana. Lord Vishnu and demigods roll over and go on the right side today for 2 months. There's a mantra to roll the Lord over. There's a mantra to invite the Lord to roll over. So we can repeat this mantra. So it says we should mentally roll the Supreme Lord over on his right side. Deva Deva Jagannath Yogi Gamya Niranjana Katidanam Kuru Shwadya Masi Badra Pade Shubhe. O Lord and Master of the Universe, Untainted One, attainable by yogis, please today, in the pure month, an auspicious month, Shubhe, pure, in the auspicious month of Bhadra, turn over. Bhagavan Bhavan Deva Ki. Yeah.